Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes piña coladas, but hates getting caught in the rain, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. Great to have you with me on this Thursday evening. It feels like fall tonight, Conrad. Do you agree?
No, not really.
No? I think it's football. It's not cold, but I just feel like we're in the throes of it. You know, my wife is a teacher. She's back at school. It was raining today. There's football this weekend. Something is in the air.
It's the football.
I think so. Because it was a gorgeous day.
Yes.
Wherever you're joining us from tonight, thank you for being here, whether it's on the stream, the radio, or what else is there, Conrad? The app. How can people watch the radio? How can people watch us like it's TV?
Well, we're on Facebook. You got Facebook. Nightlight with Pete Chwaba.
I've heard of it.
WGBW. We're on YouTube as well, Civic Media or WGBW, and on Twitter or X or whatever you like to call it, Civic Media.
I love it. It's great. However you join us, it's just great to have you. We've got a fun show tonight. At 6:35, it's Thursday night. So we used to do What to Watch Thursday. That was okay. But now we have an actual, this is what they call it, Conrad. Are you taking notes?
Okay,
a radio benchmark.
Yeah.
Thursday nights, our popcorn pick of the week is tonight. We are going to let you know what you should watch this weekend. And here to assist us in said picking is Mark Luffenberg with Laughing Mountain Popcorn. How great of a name for a company is that, especially on a show like this? We have comedy every night, pretty much. At least some comedy talk. Last night, we crushed it with Mary Mack and Rose Abdu. That was great. Mark's company is Laughing Mountain Popcorn. I think that's such a great name. They're in West Bend. Mark will be here. We'll talk about their product. We'll talk a little bit about popped corn, to be specific. And we will, I'll give my pick. Conrad will give his pick. And Mark will give us a popcorn pick of the week. That's at 6:35. Still feels weird to say that with the new show or
yeah.
with the new hours,
yeah.
you know? But that'll be fun. That's at 6:35. Mark will be here. Then at 7:05, this is exciting. Okay, so in 1962, a big chunk of a Russian satellite landed on the streets in Manitowoc. And inside, I was going to make a making of a murderer joke, but I'm not going to do it. It was like a 20-pound piece of a Russian satellite from Sputnik landed on the streets in Manitowoc. To this day, they celebrate that occurrence, even though it sounds kind of dangerous, by having Sputnik Fest. And it's this Saturday, and I'm very excited. Greg Vadney will be here to discuss Sputnik Fest. It's Saturday. It's going to be so much fun. And guess who's a judge, Conrad?
Is it you?
It is.
Nice.
So joining us to talk about what I am going to do and if there's a dress code. I passed a drug test. I am ready to do this thing. Director of the RAR West Art Museum. I hope I'm saying that right. Greg Vadney will be here to discuss Sputnik Fest and my candidacy to be a judge. I'm very honored. They picked me. This is going to be fun. I don't really know what I'm supposed to be judging, but I think having Greg here to explain that will be a big help. So that's Saturday afternoon. Stop out at Sputnik Fest. Say hello. I'm going to shake some hands, kiss some babies. That sounded weird. I'm not going to do that. But it's going to be a fun time. I think this sounds like a really cool event. And I love when cities do this and celebrate quirky things like this. This was rated like Sputnik Fest was voted like one of the top five quirky festivals of any city. And you got to say it. I'm not surprised by that. But what a weird thing to have happen.
So I got to ask, what type of judge are you going to be?
I'm doing the bikini contest for the Sputnik, and it's a weird category, but they have it, so I'll do my best. No, I don't know, honestly. I did look at the schedule.
Are you going to accept some bribes, maybe, if you put a little 20 under the table?
Conrad, come on. You really, do I look like the kind of guy that would accept a bribe? Ask me that again off the air.
Okay.
So I've got Junior Space Debris at 4 p.m. And then captain space debris at 5 p.m. Those are the two things I'm judging. Greg wanted me to get there a little early to get a sense of the festival. So I've got a lot of questions for him. That's going to be fun. He will be here in studio. He's making the drive from Manitowoc. You got to love a guy that's willing to go the extra mile or miles, literally, to be here in the studio. That'll be that'll be fun. You used to make that commute.
What? Yeah, I guess so. It was a 30-minute drive.
It's not too bad.
Well, I mean, you have a longer one than I do. I did.
No. I have to fly in every day with a connecting flight.
You're on the Taylor Swift private jet.
She's a real sweetheart about letting me bum a ride. It's pretty cool. Have you heard those rumors that she and Travis Kelce might be breaking up? There was like a contract they were going to put out there. Someone said it's BS. So I don't know.
I heard that the whole, I mean, obviously you can't believe everything that's on the internet, but that it was a staged relationship.
Why?
I don't know. NFL was a revenue stream for her or something.
Who would go to, they're already, I mean, she's crazy rich.
Yeah.
He's just really rich. Why would you go to all that trouble? How rich do you want to be? You know, Bill Murray once said, when people come up to him and say, what's it like being rich and famous? I'd love to be rich and famous. Bill said, just try rich. Like, you don't want to be famous. Because it really, you know, affects your life. Travis Kelce was already, you know, I would say one of the more popular players in the NFL before he started dating Taylor Swift. He's a goof. He's likable. He's kind of just like a regular bro. She's likable. She's incredibly famous. Maybe will go down as the greatest pop star ever if she can catch Michael Jackson. And she might.
Yeah.
But why? I mean, I got sucked in. I thought they really, you know, I feel like a sucker, Conrad. I thought they really loved each other.
So I saw this video today. The Chiefs social media team, they always have like questions when, you know, players are going out to practice or something.
Sure.
And the question was, what did you first spend your money on when you got that contract? And Travis Kelce looked at it and he goes, a lot of dumb stuff. And then he comes back later and he goes, all right, it was a hamster ball.
A what?
Like a real life hamster ball.
Hamster ball? I don't even know what that is.
Like a ball.
A ball?
Inflated ball.
Okay.
And you run in it and it keeps going.
Ball. Okay. I thought you said bowl. So like what?
Yeah.
Was he trying to be funny? I mean, you can be a goof and likable. You don't have to try to be funny because that's awkward. Like he's kind of just a likable guy. He and his brother, they have their podcast. They're doing well. They just got, their podcast just got bought for like $100 million by Amazon.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get a staged relationship. Like, I don't believe that. And but maybe they're breaking up. I don't know. I just hope she doesn't come running back to me. That ship has sailed, sister. Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But maybe Ian can answer those questions. Maybe he's got another book.
Yeah.
All right. That's our guest at 735 is Ian O'Connor. He wrote the book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. And I'm really excited to talk to him about this because, like, well, Aaron Rodgers he's interesting. He's weird. He was great. I would say he was one of the most beloved NFL players for a while there. And then he said to himself, how can I mess this up? And he just got so strange. So the book sounds great. Ian has written a lot of other books. He's a best-selling writer. This is like his fourth bestseller or something like that. He's written books about Bill Belichick, Coach K, Derek Jeter. And I'm sure those are informative, but none of those people can be as weird as Aaron Rodgers. This had to be more fun to write.
Yeah.
I would think.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Ian O'Connor. That's at 7:35. Yeah. So this is a fun show. Kind of a wide array of guests. We're talking popcorn pick of the week, a little Sputnik Fest, and a little sports. That is your show, ladies and gentlemen. That is. And so, all right, we got to get to our question. I keep forgetting to read our question of the night. Where is it? What happened to the question of the night? There it is. So it is in honor of, Conrad found this earlier. It's Be Late for Something, National Be Late for Something Day, not regional or local. This is National Be Late for Something Day. It's an awkwardly worded day. But the question tonight on Nightlight is, what's the worst thing you've ever been late for? That's even more awkwardly worded. Let's break this down. How would you phrase that? I think people know what I'm trying to say. Like, what's the worst situation you've been late in? God, I hate this question already. Conrad?
Sorry, I was late to the mic.
Right. So we discussed this bit earlier, and I already forgot about it. I'm like, where the hell's Conrad? I totally forgot we were doing a bit. Yeah. So we've all been late sometimes, when we're prepared or when we leave enough time, we just are late. Things happen and you can't control it. What is the biggest goof you've made being late, or the worst thing you possibly could have been late for?
I like the biggest goof.
Yeah. How about, what's the worst thing you've what is going on with this question?
You got a minute break to think about it.
All right. Is that already? The show is already 1/8 over, and I can't even spit out the question.
I don't think I've ever looked at the show like that for some reason.
What's the worst thing you've possibly been late for? Casey is on the stream. Is my mic on?
It is now.
All right. Oh, it is now. How long was I talking with my mic off?
That's a good question.
People are just like listening, like, who are the guests? You didn't say any guests.
You were late to the...
I was. You were late to turn my mic up, dude.
It was part of the bit.
No, it was part of the bit. Okay. We are willing to sacrifice listeners to stick to this bit. Great to have you with us here at Nightlight tonight. We got a really fun show. It's the Popcorn Pick of the Week coming up at 6:35. We're talking Sputnik Fest at 7:05. And then Aaron Rodgers with Ian O'Connor. And we're going to discuss his new book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Great title. All right, this is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Baby, here she comes now. And it comes as no surprise to me with another guy. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. Walking with a love, with a love that's so, so fine. Never to be mine, no matter how I try. Have to be bilingual to understand tonight's question, but it's, what is the worst thing you've been late for? Meaning, when have you been late when it's really affected you? Work? Picking up someone sick? A job interview? Wedding? I would say I was late one time and I was going to a meeting. And I parked at an area in Los Angeles called Century City. The meeting was there. They had, at the time, 18 levels of parking with probably 4,000 cars per level. And I was in such a hurry. I was sweating. I got caught in horrible LA traffic. There was an accident. I parked my car. I run up to the meeting. After the meeting, I was about 10 minutes late. They were pretty cool about it. Then I go back to find my car, and I could not. I was in such a hurry. I had no idea where I parked. And a guy in the golf cart had to drive me around. And it took me about a half an hour to find my car. That was probably my worst instance. Here's another one. I was at a meeting. I had a writing partner who will be on this show next week named Greg. And Greg overslept for a meeting. So the two of us as a writing team go into this meeting at the Sony. It was at the Sony lot in Culver City. I'm sitting there. I get called into the meeting thinking Greg will be there in 2 seconds. I'm talking to the director's assistant. And I'm like, after about 10 minutes, she's like, well, should we give him a call and find out where he is? And we call, and Greg is just waking up. And he lives 45 minutes away. And I've never wanted to wring someone's neck. I'm talking about politics with this woman, music, anything we can do. She goes and grabs a snack. After about a half hour, we just threw in the towel and it's like, well, let's just, you know, regroup when Greg is here. And he eventually showed up. But oh my God, when I heard him get up and clear his throat and I could tell he just woke up, that was awful. And I still will pay him back for that. So here's the thing, too, that was sent out today. Todd Michaels sent out his sheet, which always has really cool stuff on it. And one of the issues on the sheet was hoarding. There's a show called Extreme Hoarders. Lots of Americans dabble in hoarding to some degree. Half of us say we have at least one room in our home that's unsalvageable due to all the clutter. Unfortunately, they didn't ask which rooms were unusable due to junk, but hopefully it isn't the bathroom. Okay. 34% of people say their home feels cramped, and 55% of people wish they didn't have to get rid of stuff to have enough space. I'm one of them. I've de-junked a lot over the last few years. I'm trying to become, I probably will never be a minimalist, but I really want junk gone. My wife is a teacher. She tends to like save a lot of things, you know, laundry basket. Oh, I can use that for a project, grocery bags, whatever it is. And she uses them. So it's not really hoarding. That's just what teachers do. People with hoarder tendencies were asked which things were the hardest to purge. And the top responses were, what do you think the top response was, Conrad?
Oh, what is it?
Clothes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't know if anybody noticed, but I use the TH in that word, clothes. Nobody says that. Clothes. It's not clothes. It's clothes. So I'm trying to speak properly, I'm trying to make up for that whole question fiasco. So number one is clothes. Number two is kitchen equipment.
That was what I was going to guess, actually.
Yeah. That's appliances, dishware, gadgets. We have way too much stuff. We're definitely in that category. Probably clothes, too. Clothes, too. Hobby items. All my hobbies are related kind of to what I do, writing, hosting. So I wouldn't say I have a ton of outside hobbies. I'm not particularly handy. So I don't really have any of those. Four would be shoes. I probably have too many pairs of shoes. I wear like two pair. I probably have 20. Groceries, food items. We do that. Sometimes we'll buy groceries and throw them out. And I know that is like sinful. I hate doing that. But sometimes you buy stuff, you get busy, end up eating out, and then stuff goes bad. And that's the one I feel the worst about. Six, furniture. I guess people have too many. What do you have in your house, Conrad? What do you have in your apartment?
I have a couch. And I did have a chair. However, I broke it.
You broke the chair. What happened?
Well,
just lose your temper?
Kind of.
Really?
I was playing a video game and yeah.
Oh man. You had a temper tantrum?
It was a pretty old chair. I've had it for a while.
I think you're gonna say the chair had it coming.
It did. It was looking at me wrong.
The chair's fault. Number seven is seasonal decor, which is stored away, taking up space for most of the year. Well, yeah, we have that. We have Christmas decorations. That's really the only holiday we decorate for. We put a flag out on the 4th. Number eight is memorabilia. I've tried to pare that down, but that is a big one too. I've got old movie memorabilia. I've got like yearbooks, photo albums, tons of pictures, but I'll never throw that stuff away. I will never throw photos away. I would rather just hoard them. Number nine, random one-off items. If you look around your house, you'll understand what this means. That sounds like kind of a cop-out to whoever made this list. And 10 books. I've given away a lot of books recently. I still have quite a few. We have about 3 bookshelves worth, even though I don't read anymore, which is embarrassing.
Guess how many books I have.
How many books you have?
Yeah.
I don't know. How many? None.
I have two. One of them is borrowed.
Somebody borrowed it?
Yeah.
Let me guess. One is about the Packers.
Actually, I borrowed a book from my brother.
You borrowed a book from your
brother. I haven't read it at all, and I got it 2 months ago.
And he is never getting that book back. That's the way it goes.
And one of them is an old textbook from college that I couldn't return.
So it's sort of like a preempt. You were sort of forced to have books, it sounds like.
Yes.
Do you have the shelf space for that kind of Tomei collection?
It's hard to keep them, but you know.
Okay. That's hilarious. So this was interesting yesterday too. SpongeBob SquarePants was supposed to be named SpongeBoy, and the show was to be called SpongeBoy Ahoy.
That's awful.
I really think I would have hated that.
That's terrible.
It turned out to be a mop company already owned the trademark on the character called SpongeBoy. I would never buy a mop named that. So it's changed to SpongeBob SquarePants, which is just the weirdest thing ever, and I love it. It was a great show. I think they made the right decision, though.
Yes.
All right, here's what we got. Okay, so we got some text coming in. People somehow deciphered what we were talking about. From the 608, Anna says, "Hi, Pete and Conrad, another weird festival. Belleville, Wisconsin has a UFO day every year with a UFO-themed parade. This year, the day is October 26th. Good to know. Thank you, Anna. That's great. We got to get in on that. That would be fun, too.
Yeah.
Chris Casper checking in from the 608. Old Keys. Yes. You know, about 2 years ago, I tried to figure out what all my keys were, and I spent the better part of an hour probably going around door to door and checking, and some of them were just left there from the people that owned the house before us. That's a great one, Chris. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, yes, food is a thing. Tom's had kind of an attitude lately. Have you known that? You notice that? He says the dollar signs when it goes in the trash. I'm kidding you, Tom. These are great. All right, we come back. It's time for our popcorn pick of the week here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll enjoy or won't. Just remember, if you don't like the flick, you'll still love the popcorn.
Welcome back. I can almost smell the popcorn. When you hear it popping like that, it just screams movie, it screams popcorn, it screams deliciousness. And you know what I think of this week when I hear that? Laughing Mountain Popcorn. And joining us here on Nightlight is one of the owners of Laughing Mountain, Mark Loffenberg, joins us to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Laughing Mountain Popcorn. I love the name. I think I was telling your brother that, you know, we talk about comedy almost every night here, and I think laughter is so important. I'm a former comedian myself. Where did you come up with that name?
Well, Laughing Mountain Popcorn, our last name is Loffenberg, so it's a German interpretation of our last name. It's actually, Loffenberg is Laughing Mountain. Technically, it's Running Mountain, but one of my son's friends in college came up with the name Laughing Mountain, and we thought that sounded a lot better than running, so we stuck with it.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us a little bit about, for those of us who have not tried your popcorn.
Sure.
What can you tell us about it? What makes you different than other popcorn companies, if you are?
Well, what makes us different is a lot of the recipes, a lot of the popcorns we have in the store. Some places just get a kit and they make the popcorn and they go from there. We do have some of those flavors, but we have a lot of flavors in the store that are imaginative. My wife comes up with a lot of different recipes. We do a lot of things with chocolate-covered popcorn.
Ooh, nice.
We actually started the popcorn store here off of our caramel corn, which is an old family recipe. So it's not a kit. It's made with real butter, real sugar, and it's one of our most popular items.
There's just something about caramel corn, and I see it a lot whenever I've been in Chicago or Madison has a couple caramel corn places. That smell is just so great. And you feel it's kind of deceptive because you feel like you're eating healthy because it's popcorn, you know, there's
that's
fiber
correct.
And it's a good snack, but when you add all the caramel, well, that just makes it even better.
Well, and I'll tell you what, we do a version of our caramel called butter toffee, which is a lighter version. It's made with white sugar, that also has a touch of vanilla. So when we're cooking that in the store,
The
store smells absolutely amazing.
So you have an actual store there in West Bend. We're on statewide, so please feel free to talk about your store, where people can come in and buy some popcorn. Can they get it online? How do you do most of your business?
We do most of our business right here in the store, and we are located at 148 North Main Street in downtown West Bend. It's a historic downtown. It's a great place.
Yeah.
The building that we're in it's just a really neat building. We do ship. We do have an online presence. You can go to laughingmountainpopcorn.com and see all the flavors there that we have. And we do ship anywhere in the world.
I imagine around the holidays, it gets pretty busy. I always seem to get tubs of popcorn from people. And I don't know when that started, but do you guys do a lot of business around the holidays like that?
November, December is absolutely nuts. one year, 3 years ago, we're only open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay.
1 year ago in December, I decided we should be open every day of the week. It was absolutely busy. Excuse me.
You all right? Okay. It sounds like you got a piece of popcorn stuck in your throat, I think.
I wish. but it was one of those years that it was just nonstop.
Yeah. That's great, though.
Yeah, it was fabulous. It really took off for us.
So it sounds like you've been around almost 10 years. It's a family business?
It is. It's my wife. The gentleman you talked to the other day is actually my son.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, we started in 2015, and he has actually been here from day one with us. He started as a 15-year-old sweeping floors.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he sounded like he was very excited for you to come on the show and talk about popcorn. And I didn't know if that meant you like talking about movies or popcorn, or if you were just the one who's the most excited, you know, to represent the business. But he seemed pretty enthusiastic himself, so you've done a good job there.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate that.
So why is popcorn, Mark, how did that become the movie snack, in your opinion? I've done some research on this, too. But why do you think, and even when it became the movie snack of America or the world, maybe, why is it still?
Wow, that's a great question. I've never really pondered that, but I would think that it's just something that can be shared. You know, it's not like pizza where you're kind of there on your own. It's a product that can be shared.
Right.
Enjoy a soft drink with it, and it's just a cool thing.
It's perfect. And here's how it started. I don't know if you know this. Back in the Depression, it was cheap. It was cheap to make. It was cheap to buy. And during the Great Depression, and it increased consumer spending on cheaper items. Like, people would go to the movies just because the popcorn was cheap. And when they walked into the lobby, you'd hear all the popping, and it became synonymous with going to the movies. So I love that story. I think it's great. It was also not a fire hazard because they had these, you know, little carts that were easy to operate. You could do it right in the lobby, which I think was kind of cool. But and probably what you said is why it's still a popular item, because it is it's shareable. Because this is like almost 100 years after the Depression, and people are still eating popcorn when they go to the movies. It's the number one snack.
Yep. Also, what other product can you get that smells so amazing?
Right, exactly. Do you guys ever do you ever do anything like that? Like, do you have any contracts with movie theaters or anything like that?
We don't have any contracts with movie theaters. There is an old historic theater downtown here, the West Bend, the Bend. We have done some popcorn with them. Usually they purchase we call it our mountain mix, which is the caramel cheddar mix. They've done that, but no, we really haven't done anything, you know, outside to individual movie theaters.
How healthy is popcorn, Mark? Like, it sounds like you guys do everything from scratch. It sounds like a fairly organic operation, but I know there's been over the years, people talk about movie theater popcorn being very fattening or unhealthy. Do you know anything about that?
Well, we pop all of our popcorn in coconut oil. So coconut oil has some very redeeming qualities. The other good thing about popcorn is there's a lot of fiber to it. So it's not like some of the other snacks out there that, you know, you're just, one of my favorites, like a bag of Doritos. or Tostitos. You do have a lot of fiber in your product there, so it does offset some of the what we would call the negative aspects of it.
Right. So you have to, if you polish off a bag of Tostitos, you should eat a bag of popcorn after. That's what I'm hearing.
Something like that.
Okay. So in your opinion, if people go to Laughing Mountain, what would you recommend? What is your favorite flavor that you guys put out there?
Tough question. We have in our store currently, I'm looking out over the sales floor right now, there's 28 different flavors out there.
Oh my gosh.
We sell more caramel corn and products from caramel corn. We have a Kentucky bourbon caramel corn. We have an old fashioned caramel corn. This year at State Fair, we won first and second place for two of our popcorns, and they're both based off of our caramel corn.
Nice. Congrats.
Yeah. Thanks.
So what's your best seller? Let's say that. Like when people come in, what are you selling more of than anything else at your store?
Well, if you're talking about it as a whole, we sell more caramel corn than anything because of all the differences. There's probably 10 different products we make with caramel corn. But if you want to take one individual corn, we made an adaptation of like Muddy Buddies or Puppy Chow, chocolate and peanut butter. We make that with popcorn, and then we dust that with a powdered sugar. That sells individually more than anything we have.
Really?
So yeah.
How did you... It's interesting that you say all this stuff. Like, how do you come up with these flavors? Do you guys, are you sitting around the dinner table and you say, hey, an old fashioned, that might be a good popcorn flavor. How do you go from the idea to actually making the flavor happen? That seems like that would be kind of astounding.
Well, a lot of the ideas come in my wife's head at about 3 a.m. when she can't sleep. These ideas come up and then the next morning we talk about it. We'll sit down and we'll kind of scratch things out and, you know, how is this going to work and what's going to do that there? And, you know, and we'll do a test batch. And a lot of times, you know, one, maybe two batches and we hit what we're looking for.
Really? And what do you test market it or anything, or just hand it out to family?
No, we'll sample it in the store here. We do have samples if we haven't bagged everything. Sure. Yeah.
All right, so last question for you, and then I want to ask you if you're binge-watching anything, and then we'll do our popcorn pick of the week. What were you doing before you did popcorn, and did you ever think, I'm going to be in the popcorn racket?
No, we actually owned a residential cleaning service that I ran for 27 years.
Okay.
And popcorn wasn't really on the radar. My son, my oldest son, he was making it at home. And when he went off to college, he would come home at Christmas time and he'd start making it. And then I was paying for him to send it to his friends or to his college professors. And it kind of clicked. I was like, you know what? If people like this, maybe a lot of people will like this. And that's kind of where the store came from.
That is great. Do you have that anywhere on your website? Because that's a great story. I love hearing how, especially in a family business like that, just how the idea just came out of nowhere. It's so great.
The story is on our website.
Okay.
Yep. And there's actually some pictures. One time at college, my son had tried making this in the microwave. And, he kind of set off the smoke alarms.
All right. So, and it's nice that you ran a cleaning business because I assume that your stores are very clean too. As a result of that, you probably carried that over into the popcorn biz.
We're very particular. But I will tell you this. I had no idea how much of a mess popcorn makes.
Is that right?
There's a lot of cleaning to be done here every day.
Do you get sick of the smell ever? Cause I love the smell, but I think if I was around it all the time, it might get to be a bit
not
much.
At all.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right, Mark. So before we make, I'm going to ask you for a movie pick, but before we do that, what are you watching? Do you binge watch anything at home?
Yeah, we've been watching White Collar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You've heard of it?
I have, and you know what? I've heard it's a good show. I have not watched it yet, but it's fun when you... Yeah, go ahead.
I got to be honest. It's probably one of the best TV shows I've ever seen.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It's nice, too, when you find a show like that, because when you have like 8 seasons, like you can truly binge watch it, right?
In 3 weeks, right. Yep, I get that.
All right, so White Collar, that's very good. Conrad, can we have a drum roll? Do you have a movie pick, Greg, or Mark, something that you could recommend?
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, hold on. Let's get the drum roll going. This is our inaugural popcorn pick of the week with the music, the drum roll, and everything. Mark Laufenberg is here from Laughing Mountain. No, oh, you got a drum roll? Well, we don't have a drum roll. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad I built that up. All right, Mark. So you are our first with music popcorn pick of the week. What's your movie pick?
My movie pick is A Few Good Men.
Oh, nice. All right. A Few Good Men, for those of you listening who have not seen it, is an excellent film. Tom Cruise plays a Navy lawyer. Demi Moore is in it. Kevin Pollak. Jack Nicholson. Yeah, and I don't know about you, Mark, but for me, it's one of those movies when I'm flipping around, I cannot turn that movie off.
Oh, but I've seen it 10, 15 times.
Yeah, that's a great pick. All right.
Yep.
Highly recommend that. I'm going to recommend Beetlejuice. I'm going to recommend something newer, but if I have to go an older film, I just watched In the Heat of the Night 2 weeks ago, and that would be a great pick, too, if you're at home. If you want to go to the theater, I would recommend Beetlejuice, because it is reviewing well. Mark, this was so much fun. Thank you for being part of our Popcorn Pick of the Week and sharing your business with us. And if anybody wants more information, go to laughingmountainpopcorn.com and check out what sounds like a really excellent product.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you
very much.
You're welcome, buddy. Thank you for your time, Mark. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right. That's Mark Laufenberg from Laughing Mountain Popcorn. I love that name. We'll break all this down when we come back. Here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. All right, so there you go. A Few Good Men. Really great pick. Great movie. Again, if you haven't seen it, that seems like one of those films most people have just seen because, well, a lot of people went to see it in the theater, but also it was very popular on cable when that started and home video and all that kind of stuff. But it really is one of those movies. It's so well done. And it was based on a play. And you kind of get that sense when you watch it because the movie's a little small. It's not crazy cinematic, but the acting is so good. And it's just one of those movies that's hard to turn off. Nicholson is great in it. Tom Cruise is excellent in it. And Demi Moore is good. And it's just a great film. And that's one of the films, and we've done this on the show before, what are those movies you can't turn off? Like when you're flipping around right before you go to bed, A Few Good Men is one of those films. It's like The Godfather. I'm not saying it's as good as The Godfather, but I'm saying it's one of those films that just kind of grabs you. So that was fun. Thank you to laughingmountainpopcorn.com. Check them out. It sounds like they really know what they're doing. Tom texted again. He says the dollar signs when it goes in the trash. And then Tom also said, yes, Pete Keys. He was agreeing with Chris Casper's text. Because everybody has keys laying around. They have no idea what they're for. Pamela from the 715, Wisconsin Rapids, says, photos. All of ours and my parents, unorganized, in parentheses. Grandma's photos are in photo albums, taped to black paper and names and dates written in with a white pencil. She says she's listening on WFHR. Thank you, Pamela. Thanks for listening. And that's a great answer. You know, I wouldn't really consider photos hoarding, though. Those are like true actual keepsakes. So technically, by the definition of the word, maybe you're hoarding them, but it's not junk, right? I mean, those are great things to hold on to. I don't, like I said earlier on the show, I don't think I could ever throw away family photographs. Sherry from Horicon checks in, says, hi, Pete and Conrad. It's interesting. Since we switched to 6 p.m., I noticed Sherry's texts have been coming in later. So Sherry either is booked for the first hour of our new time slot, or she just forgot. But either way, Sherry, I'm glad you checked in. We know you're safe, and thank you for listening. These are all great texts. And our question, you can tell us what you're hoarding, or I can go over this horribly worded question that I couldn't think of a better way to say. When was the worst, what was the worst thing you've been late for? I know that sounds weird, folks. I apologize for that. But was it a wedding, a job interview, work? When I was in college, I worked at the Chicago Board of Trade. I was a runner in the pits, the crazy trading pits. And I got the late work one day, and I thought, this is like my 21-year-old mentality. It was pouring rain. I had to take the L downtown to get to the Board of Trade. I was soaked. I mean, literally, everybody was soaked. And I thought, well, they're just going to close it today. We can't have everybody standing around soaking wet. Obviously, I didn't understand the adult world or the financial world. They don't close that for anything, even if I'm in discomfort wearing wet underpants. It was awful. So I was about 15 minutes late that day, but I had a few. You know, I'm old enough where I've been late a few times. So what about you? What were you late for that came back to haunt you? You can also tell us if you hoard stuff. As you know, folks, anything we're talking about here, you can weigh in on it. It's great to hear from everybody here at Nightlight. All right. So the show Sons of Anarchy dropped this week. And a really good show. Ron Perlman and Katie Siegel. And our friend Jamie McShane, a friend of the show, as I like to call him. He's been on the show before. He's a great actor who's been on the show Bosch, Sons of Anarchy, Bloodline. That was a big one he was doing on Netflix. He's on the show Wednesdays now on Netflix. And Jamie played an Irish gunrunner named Cameron Hayes on Sons of Anarchy. And his character met a really cool fate on the show. And he talked a little bit about that when he was on Nightlight last. But we have a clip from the show. This is where he meets the motorcycle gang, does a great Irish accent. And this is the introduction of the character Cameron Hayes from Sons of Anarchy, which dropped this week.
Cam Hayes, Michael's cousin.
Claire Morrow.
Tig.
Have a seat, please.
Where is he?
He's dead.
Jesus. How?
The Oakland Park Commissioner threatened to bust open a shipment we got coming in on Monday. Wants to triple his payoff money.
Hefner, greedy. Riding roughshod over the ports for years.
And Michael was pissed. Went off on him for changing the deal. Must have spooked Hefner. Had his port goons jump Michael. They beat him, broke his neck, left him for dead.
Sorry.
That's awful, man. Condolences.
Thank you.
Anything we do to help with this?
No. That's personal. I'll handle Mr. Hefner. Michael spoke very highly of Simcoe. Trusted you. Hope to be able to continue the relationship. That's why I'm here. I'll be your new contact.
I mean, no disrespect. I mean, I'm sure everything you're saying is the truth.
No, no. Wish you had a secret handshake or business card.
That's the package, yeah, that we're delivering to McKeevy.
2 months and a month insurance, $200K.
Mind if we take a quick count?
I got all night, brother.
Thank you.
That's my pal Jamie McShane, such a good actor, and crushed the Irish brogue. I don't know. He's so good with accents. But when he was on the show, he talked about, I think it was the show he's doing for HBO right now, which is a Mark Ruffalo project. And it's got a really good cast. And it was not titled yet. I think it was an untitled project. And it looks like it's still untitled. But he said this is the best project he's worked on. So that will be out soon at some point. Maybe we'll pester Jamie and get him back on the show so he can tell us about that new show, because it's got to be inching ever closer to being dropped on one of the, well, it was HBO, I think, so it'll be on Max. Sherry says, I teach late. I know you had an excuse, Sherry. I was just giving you a hard time. Nothing keeps you away from Nightlight or Civic Media for that matter, and we love it. She says, not that I work late, just listen late. Oh, okay. You can listen whenever you want. You can listen to Nightlight on the podcast, too. All the shows at Civic Media are available in podcast form at civicmedia.us. So we got a lot of show left coming up, folks. We're going to talk Sputnik Fest after our Civic Media award-winning Civic Media news team keeps you informed. We will talk Sputnik Fest with Greg in just a few minutes. And that's happening this weekend in Manitowoc. So get out your calendars. I'll be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll discuss that in a few minutes. And then Ian O'Connor is here at 7:35 to talk about his new book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.